girls, the menstrual period should bring no severe discomfort. Some girls have a little less pep, but don't let it get you down. Once you stop feeling sorry for yourself and take those days in your stride, you'll find it easier to keep smiling and even-tempered.
It's crazy women having their periods, screaming and crying all the time.
You're getting really emotional right now. I need you to calm down.
There are just so many hormones like racing through our body all the time. We can't even control it.
When people have PTSD, one of the really common treatments is called exposure therapy. And what we have found is that when estrogen levels are high, you're actually better at learning that process. It's just sort of the way people think about female organisms is that, you know, we're kind of driven by our hormones. And in this case, it happened to be true.
These hormones that are seen so negatively in our society, like, she's on her period, she's so emotional, whatever. These are actually the thing that could cure your PTSD. From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus, a conversation with Northeastern University's groundbreaking researchers. We connect what's going on in their labs to what's going on in your life. We're News at Northeastern reporters Emily Arnson
and Aria Bracci.
As a society, we tend to think men are strong, women are weak, but we can't say it quite like that, right? We can't be saying that women are weak. And so instead of just like changing how we think about men and women, we've just decided to use different words. So now we say, you know, men are rational and women are emotional.
And it's not just us now that are saying it. It's been since the 19th century, according to this article in the journal Science that's on this topic. Women's brains have been historically classified as having sensitivity, perceptual acumen, and emotionality.
And being emotional in most circumstances, that's a negative thing. And the crazy thing is, people really pitch this to us like it's a scientific fact, as if women are biologically programmed to be more emotional simply because of the hormones associated with menstruation.
Same article from Science. Women, but not men, are still pejoratively described as hormonal or emotional, which curiously neglects the well-documented fact that men also possess both hormones and emotions.
We actually talked to the woman who wrote this article. Her name is...
Hi, I'm Rebecca Shansky.
She's a neuroscientist and a psychology professor at Northeastern. And she wrote this article to give a little historical context about how these very human stereotypes have extended to females of all species. And because of that, these stereotypes have consequently affected biomedical research in really crucial ways.
There is a bias in research that if you are studying women or female animals, the most obvious explanation for the data is hormones. It's the lowest hanging fruit. Oh, how does this work in women? Well, it must be hormones.
And this pseudoscience rumor has really dissuaded a lot of researchers from using female animals in their experiments, which is crazy because a lot of this type of research is for things like medicine that's used in men and women. But even though this idea is totally disprovable, this was still affecting how people did their research. And it was such a problem that in 2016, which is kind of recently, the National Institutes of Health, which is a huge funder of biomedical research, had to issue a new policy that said, if you want funding from them, you have to do your experiments in males and females. And if not, you have to prove why that's not necessary. So instead of looking at these hormones as a flaw in females, Rebecca is looking at how a type of estrogen called estradiol can actually help cure mental health disorders like PTSD.
The only excuses for studying one sex would be that you are studying something that literally doesn't happen in the other sex.
So Rebecca, in this case, gets a pass because she's studying something called the estrus cycle in rats, which is the reproductive cycle that's in all female mammals.
Male animals don't have an estrus cycle, so we are allowed to only study females.
Specifically, she's looking at a type of estrogen called estradiol. And what I love about her research is she's taking this long-standing tradition of only studying males because of their presumed hormonal superiority and totally flipping that on its head. So instead, she's like, no, actually, I'm only studying females explicitly because of their dreaded hormones, because guess what? Estradiol can actually help cure mental health disorders like PTSD. We're curious about your research with PTSD and hormones in female rats. So if you could just explain what that research is to us.
So when something traumatic happens to you, you remember a lot of the details about that event. And if you encounter those details again, even if you're not in the same dangerous scenario, they can elicit a fear response or a panic attack in people who have PTSD.
So what she does to test this in rats is, first, she has to instill the fear in these animals. So she does that by doing this process called fear conditioning. And this is a really common procedure that's done in lots of psychology experiments. So she puts the rats in a cage and she plays a tone. And then immediately afterwards, she shocks their foot, plays a tone, shocks the foot, plays a tone, shocks the foot. And over time, the animal learns to associate the tone with a shock. And so eventually the animal doesn't even need to feel the shock to be scared of the tone. They can simply hear the tone and have a fear response.
Then the process that we're really interested in is training the animal then not to be afraid of the tone.
And so what she does is she plays the tone without the shock, plays the tone, no shock, plays the tone, no shock. And eventually the rat learns, okay, I'm safe. This tone is neutral and I no longer have to be scared of this sound. And that process is called fear extinction. Okay, so now that that's established, what do hormones have to do with lady rats?
And what we have found, and it's also true in women, is that when estrogen levels are high, you're actually better at learning that extinction process. So what we want to understand in our lab is, how do estrogens do that? What allows our female animals to actually learn faster and hold on to that new memory longer? So we think that estrogen is actually increasing the baseline level of dopamine, and it's actually that dopamine that is directly acting on the learning processes.
Okay, so what is dopamine?
Dopamine is a neurotransmitter. Which means it is zapped around the brain among neurons, and it helps the brain do things.
Do you associate it with anything?
Oh, happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the happy chemical, right? But it also does like tons of other things. So in this context, she is looking at how dopamine affects memory formation. What she thinks is happening is that these heightened levels of dopamine are making it easier for these rats to create new memories that are not associated with fear. So it's not as if the estrogen or the dopamine is making fear extinction easier. It's more like the estrogen is a catalyst for more dopamine, and then the dopamine acts as a reset button for the brain and kind of lays the groundwork for the brain to create a new memory. So it's almost like these memories are being overwritten?
No.
So what we think about extinction is not that we're erasing the original association. So what we know is that in the amygdala, there are separate populations of neurons that encode each part of the memory. So one set of neurons encodes that initial fear association, that the tone means they will get shocked, and a separate set of neurons encodes the extinction memory. And the question then is, in the future, which set of neurons gets activated when they encounter this cue?
I guess I'm just realizing I don't really know how memories are made. So you keep saying that they're encoded in a neuron?
In order for a memory to form, there are a lot of things that actually have to happen in a set of individual cells.
Now, this is a doozy, so try to stay with me on this. Okay, so basically when you are experiencing something, your brain converts the information from that experience into electricity. And that electricity sort of zips through your brain, and eventually it's stored away in cells, neurons. And those neurons become like little capsules that hold your memory. So in the future, when those neurons are activated, you activate that memory and remember whatever information is held in that neuron. But to activate those memory neurons, you need to make connections between them. They need to like spark together. So that's where the dopamine comes in, because dopamine increases neuroplasticity in the brain. So does that make sense to you?
Yes, because without neuroplasticity, we would only have the old connections. Neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to form new ones and to sort of choose different areas of the brain that are used during different processes.
Yeah, so basically the dopamine allows your brain to become more impressionable and ready to absorb new information and make new connections between neurons. So Rebecca thinks that if these rats are forming healthy memories at a time when there is more dopamine in the brain, then those connections between the neurons, those new memories are going to be stronger.
Why does one neuron get picked and maybe a neuron that's literally right next to it doesn't get picked? So, you know, neurons communicate with electricity. And so some of them are more sort of electric than others at a particular time. If these neurons are just a little bit more excited, it's like the neurons are like, pick me, pick me. And then they're going to get selected for that specific memory. And if neurons have less excitability, then they're less likely to be picked.
If it turns out that it is just the increased levels of dopamine that are allowing for easier fear extinction, the good thing about that is that dopamine is a neurotransmitter that exists in both sexes and is a lot less intrusive than hormones. So it would be a lot easier to try and like activate sources of dopamine in the brain than introduce new hormones to your body. I feel like this is case in point why we need to study females, because there is so much that we still have to learn.
Yeah, like how do you feel for decades not having known this? I am amazed that this is something that's been happening in animals. I didn't even know that rats had estrous cycles, but to think that this has been going on as a hidden treasure, it's so important to study them.
Special thanks to Rebecca Shansky, Associate Professor of Psychology at Northeastern University and Director of the Shansky Lab. Sound engineering by Anthony Polito. Our editor is David Filipov. From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus. We're News at Northeastern reporters Emily Arnson
and Aria Bracci.
Talk to you next time. Does that make sense?
Yes. I might even say that's dope.
Oh. Oh my God.